AOPA presents Never Again, true pilot stories from the world of general aviation. In this episode, a sailplane pilot unintentionally transitions to an open cockpit. Find out what happens in Life and Death at 15,000 Feet by John Joss. Losing important pieces of an airplane while flying can be fatal, but you know that. Many people, including some pilots, think of gliders or sailplanes as toys. Far from it. They are among the world's most advanced high-performance aircraft, pioneering much of the finest aircraft technology going back decades, now used by Boeing and Airbus in their latest airliners. Finally, they are, in effect, living sculpture a pilot enters to climb invisible mountains in the sky. Beyond their performance, they are insanely beautiful, shaped by the wind. Sailplane pilots like to think of them as highly advanced airplanes that lack only the noisy fire hazard. I have pre-flighted my H-301 Libella sailplane at Minden Airport in Nevada, just east of California's Lake Tahoe, carefully. Stainless steel wing pin, inserted and locked. Tailplane, secure. Controls and instruments, checked. Maps, in place. Radio function, confirmed. Oxygen bottle, full pressure. A gallon of drinking water, stowed. Drinking tube, available. Energy bars, on hand, to munch during my likely 5 to 6 hour 350-mile flight. All wing-to-fuselage and tailplane-to-fuselage joints, taped to minimize drag. Weather predictions, verified. And every essential, confirmed. I'm ready for aerotow, pulled aloft by a Cessna 182. The H-301B Libella Dragonfly, 50-foot wingspan glider, renowned as the world's first all-fiberglass sailplane, is a racer that can fly at 125 knots and more up to 50,000 feet. The highest I have flown it is 35,000 feet, with a 43-to-1 glide ratio. I.e., from a mile, or 5,280 feet high, I can theoretically fly 43 miles in still air. Although air is rarely still. The cockpit is tiny, cramped, with just enough room for a reclining pilot wearing a parachute. Oxygen gear for high flying, required by the FAA over 12,500 feet. Water, dehydration on long flights can be deadly. Maps, calculator, and communications data. I plan to fly down the magnificent Sierra to the Mojave Desert at California City and back. The weather is cooperating and will enable this flight. Soaring pilots depend on weather. We need lift. Thermals, warm air rising from the ground. Wave, fast-moving air lifted behind mountains like water behind rocks in a stream. Ridge, wind deflected upward against a mountain. Or convergence, or colliding air masses. For example, between marine air and inland air. We may use any or all of those on a typical flight. A sailplane is always falling relative to the air and can only be kept aloft by understanding and using rising air. This demands close attention and endless practice. I strap in securely. My crew pulls the bird to the line to hook up to the tow plane and takes the wingtip in hand. With the Libella's single central wheel, she will run the wingtip as we accelerate until air flows over the wings and the controls gain authority. The final essential act. Attach the 35-pound, 4-foot-long clear plexiglass canopy by inserting a pin in its rear frame into a fuselage receptacle out of sight and reach behind me. The canopy is integral to the airplane's shape, essential to safe flight. A volunteer managing the tows, an experienced sailplane pilot, does this. He assures me that the pin is inserted securely, so I close the front of the canopy to engage the emergency release, a red knob above the instrument panel, and lock it. Tow plane hooked up, I waggle the rudder, the signal to the tow pilot, which he can see through his mirror, that I am ready. The launch and tow are nominal, at 65 knots. I retract the landing gear after takeoff. I find a convenient thermal, a rising column of warm air that lofts me to 15,000 feet on oxygen, circling at 42 knots, climbing at 1,000 feet per minute. I tell my crew by radio, audible to everyone on the ground, that soaring conditions are excellent. The wonder and beauty of Lake Tahoe, invisible behind the mountains from Minden Airport, imposes its blue perfection to the west as I climb. I chandelle off the top of the thermal and push the stick forward, looking for 120 knots, and head south, nose pointed down, in a steep dive. This is living. The canopy detaches suddenly, explosively, violent as a gunshot, a stunning rush of air. The rear pin was not engaged. Everything loose is gone instantly. My oxygen mask is torn away. My shades, sun hat, and maps vanish. My tube mic, clipped to my shades? Nowhere. But radio is useless in the 140-mile-per-hour wind blast. I have a full-on emergency. I think, in an instant, instantly discarded, of Sully flying out of LaGuardia. But I am alone. He had a plane full of passengers. Analyze, decide, act. Split seconds count. Did the canopy hit the tail, meaning severe damage and likely loss of control? Should I bail out? Step one, jettison the canopy. Done, albeit unintentionally. I check the controls in roll, pitch, and yaw. They seem functional. Are they damaged? A sailplane's empennage is minimal to reduce drag. The aerodynamic wake of the now open cockpit can blanket the tail and impair controllability severely. Pulling back on the stick, slowing, I find control marginal below 60 knots, too fast for a normal safe approach, but I must land safely somehow. I am within gliding range of Minden Airport, fortunately. Minden's runway 30 is chock-a-block with sailplanes awaiting launch. I am virtually invisible, not expected to be landing back. I lower the gear and choose unused runway 21, X'd out as unlandable. Weeds, broken concrete, plus a severe crosswind. I must land fast to retain control and roll through the runway intersection in the center of the airport. A tow plane is parked next to the intersection in the center of 21, and there is no room to get by. I cannot communicate with him. He has no reason to look back down that unusable runway. Seconds before I would hit him unless I steer into the sagebrush along the runway, destroying the bird and probably myself in an uncontrollable cartwheel, he taxis away for his next tow as I touch down at 60 knots. I roll through the intersection at 40 knots, almost 50 miles an hour, into the X'd runway 03 area where gliders rig and vehicles park. By some extraordinary lull between tows, nothing is in the way. Gliders, tow vehicles, and trailers, usually scattered across the parking area, are mercifully, miraculously absent. I apply the brake and stop. The wingtip touches the ground. I exhale slowly. A pilot standing nearby comes over. He looks perplexed. Where's your canopy? Good question.
The Never Again Podcast is brought to you by AOPA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and by AOPA Pilot Magazine. You can read more Never Again stories online at aopa.org/neveragain. While you're there, you can also join online discussions, check out AOPA's online flight planner, and take interactive online courses from the Air Safety Institute. All of this and more at aopa.org. The Never Again Podcast is produced by Royce Earle. Thanks for listening. Fly safely.